One. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Our God, we pray that we might be those who live by the truth, and that we'll come into the light, be eager to hear from you, and walk in your way. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as I said, we went from Adelaide to Alice, Uluru, and back again. And I've got to say, it's always great to remember how vast our land is. There's extraordinary distance. I think between 300 k's prior to Cooper Pedy to 300 k's after Cooper Pedy, something like 600 kilometres, there's like no trees. That's ridiculous. For trees for 600 probably square kilometres. But it's a massive land, and it has these incredible sights. These are just some of the things that we saw on the way. You know, Uluru and Karajura and the King's Canyon then. And just a normal little sunset that we have in Australia. So it's extraordinary. And it reminds me that I do love our country. And it's not hard to imagine when I'm out in it that God loves it too. That God's really wrapped with this extraordinary world that he's created in joy. But that's not the kind of love that we see in John 3:16. We don't see a love where God loves the world because it's lovely. We see a love where God gives incredibly and at great cost and sacrifice for a world that is unlovely. It's an unlovely world that John 3:16 describes. It says that God's on a rescue mission for a world that's in real trouble. The word it uses is perishing. And if you happen to read a pastor's article that I wrote during Lent, I wrote then that in love, God gives his Son, Jesus, to save people from perishing and to bring them into eternal life. The illustration he gives is one where Israel, because they were rebellious, are under judgment, and the judgment is that they are having snakes, poisonous snakes, kill many of them. And in his mercy, Moses is told to make a bronze stake, put it on a piece of wood, a pole, and then anyone who looks on the snake lives. And John writes that this is what it's like both for our world and for what Jesus will do for people who are perishing. We have people dying in our world, perishing under judgment, and we have Jesus who will be lifted up, which speaks to his cross, speaks to his exaltation, and anyone who looks to Jesus will not die but live. Emily nearly stood on this snake. We didn't know what kind of snake it was. It turns out it's a mulga snake, and supposedly they are also can be known as the king brown snake. Anyway, they're moderately poisonous, aren't they? Nobody's died from being bitten by a brown snake in the last 40 years. One of the things I found about this particular snake is it really loves biting you while you're sleeping. And when it gets angry, it spits and it kicks at you. So fortunately, as you can see, it's feeling very friendly towards my dear daughter. We didn't know what it was, so we all circled around and I took photos and had a great time. But imagine if she was bitten. Where was this? Was this Ormiston's Gorge? I think it was Ormiston's Gorge. So this is 2-hour drive from Alice, off the top of my head. 2-hour drive. Imagine if she's bitten. I would be getting Tam Battersby to drive her back to Alice. Something around about the NT speed limit of 130 k's per hour. But when you're bitten, you know you're in trouble, especially by a snake that's like this. You know you're in trouble. If you're in Moses' time and you're bitten by a snake, you know that the end outcome, because you're seeing it all around you, the end outcome is that you will die. So what would you do if you knew that if the way to find life is to look upon a snake on a pole? Who cares if it seems like a dumb idea? It just takes a look. And that's what you do, because dying by snake bite is it's a palpable experience. But people who are perishing in our world don't know they're perishing. It doesn't feel like it. The cancer that is at flow in their bodies, the cancer of sin, is taking a lot longer to show its poisonous head. And so they just live as if everything is normal. And in fact, John tells us that people will prefer to stay in darkness because they have much to hide. They hate the light. He then tells us that people will reject the sun. And he says that there will be perishing people who refuse to look to Jesus to live. And God loves that world anyway. He knows. He knows the resistance of people to him and his son. And John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, he sent his son anyway. Of all the things you could say of God, the best and most right thing to say is that God loves. That God will do what is right and just for people that he has created. It'll give and serve. He'll never seek selfishly for his own gain or greed. God loves. God is love. And God loves this world, even if it were to reject him. And he will give his son. And he will send him. And in verse 10 of chapter 1, it says of this, that he was in the world, speaking of Jesus. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And God sends his son anyway. He loves his world. He gives the world his very best. His treasured, loved, only begotten son. There is none like him from eternity to into all eternity. This is the son that he has loved for always. It's on the basis of this love that Paul writes that we can know that God is for us. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? That God loves. He gives his best to the ones who are lost, to the ones who are unlovely, and to the ones who reject him. And he's done this so that people will not perish, but they'll know this incredible life with him in this life and into eternity. And the only thing you need do is put your trust, hope, and belief in the Son God loves. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your joys and he knows your challenges. He sees your darkness because he sees it from a position of light. He knows what's in your soul. He knows that some of you may reject him, that some of you may miss it, that some of you may love life apart from him. And he sends his son anyway, because he loves you. His hope is that you don't reject him. Verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God didn't come so that he might just press into your problems and make you feel worse than you are. He came to rescue you. He came so that you will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is lifted on a cross to rescue the world, not to judge it and condemn it. And it's just this choice to all those who believe in him. You know, I never presume that the people I speak to are those who already believe in him. Never. But for two reasons. I want you to know that if you have friends who are seeking God, they can come here and not have me presume that they are already in the family, because that's not true for them. And the second thing is, I don't presume it for you. I've been around church long enough to know that people can hang around church and still be one of these folk who have not believed in him. Don't miss it. Don't reject it. Don't walk away from it. Don't love the life that you have apart from God. Come to the God who loves you. And this is the heart of all mission. Right there. Our world's perishing apart from God. You may have forgotten that. John hasn't forgotten that as he writes this. And that God in love gives his son to rescue the world he loves. The heart of mission doesn't begin with our enthusiasm, doesn't begin with our efforts, doesn't begin with our ideas, doesn't begin with our strategies. It begins with God's love for a lost world. And as followers of Jesus, wherever we are, we must also share this love, this good news with the world that God loves. It's for us to do. You don't look to a perishing world to save itself. No, you look to God and his people are to carry that. That's why Luke and Rachel are in Siem Reap in Cambodia. And they're doing simple things. They're building friendship and connection. It's not an arrogant thing to say that they're there because people are perishing apart from God. It's not arrogant because, as far as God is concerned, it is true. Like if you had an illness, a disease, and the doctor didn't tell you because they felt like, who am I to impose my opinion on you? You are the doctor. Impose away. You know what is wrong. Why wouldn't you tell me? And the extent of the problem is shown by the solution. You are in such trouble, our world, that God sends his son to die on a cross for you. Such trouble. He takes his very best. What kind of trouble would a parent be in if they took their child and sacrificed their life for the sake of another? What kind of trouble is that? The kind of trouble you and I are in apart from God. And Luke and Rachel are there because people are perishing. And they're doing simple things of building connection. And they're looking for opportunity to share of the God of love who is rescuing the world. You know, they do that because they're in this country, because roughly 40% of the world still haven't heard of that. They haven't heard John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. 40% of the world have never heard that. The most well-known Bible passage to any Christian on this planet. And 40% of the world have never heard it. And part of that world is Cambodia. And the Hutchinsons have gone there. They're normal people. We had Luke and Rachel here for a period of time because Luke was on staff as a pastor. Luke and Rachel are in our youth group. They were youth group leaders with me. They're in a young adults group with the Battersbys and others. You know them. You know what kind of both ordinary and superhero people they are. And the reason why they've gone and left what we would consider normal to another country to learn language is because they want to share of the God who loves this world. And they want to go to people who've never heard it before. But this isn't just for the global unreached. Did you notice what Luke did at the end of that little video? Is he pitched a question to us so that we would consider, what are we doing in our world? What always fascinates me about global mission is when you look at what missionaries are doing overseas and among unreached people, gee, it looks like something that you and I could do right here. Make friends, learn, connect, go to weddings, go to funerals, share life. That doesn't sound like something I can't do here. And that's what Luke wants to remind us about, is what they're doing there, we ought to be doing here. You, in fact, live with many people who are unreached, and increasingly so. And you are probably their best opportunity to know the God who loves them. And there could be a risk of rejection. I think it's actually unlikely, by the way. You fear rejection more than the reality. But you need to remember that in the face of rejection, what did God do? Loved anyway. Gave anyway. The sent Son came anyway. The Saviour died on the cross anyway. Rejection is no blocker to love, to give, to sacrifice, to tell anyway. That's a pretty challenging example. That as we accept God's love for us, you know the reality of John 3:16 for your own life, that you're also called to live that reality for the sake of others too. That you can love those around you in the same way that God's loved you. Through May, we're going to talk about global mission. We'll have opportunity to partner with it, financially support it, pray for it, participate in it. But here's the heart of it all. God so loved the world. Let me pray. My first opportunity in this prayer is for those who have not accepted Jesus for themselves. That on the terms of John 3:16, you still lie with those who are perishing, because your trust and your hope and your faith are not yet placed fully in Jesus. God is not wanting for you to be condemned. And whether you are in this room or listening online, now is the time to give your life to God. So I'm going to pray a simple little prayer. In your heart and mind, I'd love for you to join with me as an act, as a sign that you are shifting from living life your own way to putting your belief, hope, and trust in Jesus. So pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you love our world. Thank you that you love me. I am sorry for living life my own way. I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong, things that I've done to hurt myself and others. I'm sorry that I've not lived for you. Thank you that through Jesus, I am forgiven. And I am made a child of God. That I can have life forever with you, God. Please hear my prayer. Please come into my heart by your Spirit and help me live life for you. Help me to love others just like you have loved me. This I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, I want to finally just finish with the prayer for those of us who are followers. Remind us today that people are perishing, that they are far from you, and in fact far from life as it is given by you. And that our best response is to show that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And that where we have opportunity, that we will never let somebody go from us guessing about this great and good news. I pray especially as we go through May Mission Month, that you might give each one that is listening to this prayer right now opportunity to bear witness to what God you have done for the world that's lost. And I pray, Lord, that we might even have the great joy of seeing people not reject you, but accept you and follow you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we close today, we're going to take